So you guys are not too tired, or I can use a French accent to wake you up. No, let's keep it in English. So, gift of mercy. It's one of those gifts that's not really mentioned often in Scripture. We'll look at Scripture. I just love the Bible. This is the book. This has the word. So let's look at Romans 12, our second listing of spiritual gift. Read a few verses, and then after that, seriously, guys, we're gonna sprint through two parables. And it's gonna be really, really pleasant for you guys trying to keep up. So Romans 12, we'll read verse 6 to 8. So verse 6 reads, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Now, observation, the word here, gifts, is the word, I'm going to sound so smart, the word charismata in Greek. It's the same word in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I just want to make the observation that when you look at this list, you kind of think, well, like a natural man could do that. You could teach, you could serve, you could contribute, But now we just want to emphasize that those are spiritual gifts. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit and for the common good again. So just to note as we're going through them. And now I underline things in my Bible in red when it's about righteous living, it's good, it's godly, and I underline, let us use them. And I really want to emphasize that. I wasn't there on Sunday, but we're talking about James, not only being hearers, but doers. And right now here, if I can speak for Paul, and I think I might be right, Paul's not there to describe, listing the gift, what they do. He's saying, use them. That's his main point here. He's saying, you guys, here's a list, use them. Teach, exhort. So the main emphasis right now, I just want to put out there, is we have gifts, let's use them. So I think I speak for Paul. Hopefully I'm correct. So let's carry on. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and then the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And that's where we're going to focus on. Wanting to connect, where do we see this gift in the Bible? So I kind of went with the little Greek word, eleo. Doesn't matter, just remember the little sound, eleo. Now let's try to find it in Scripture. We'll start in Matthew 18. That'll be our first example. And for the sake of time, I will Dave paraphrase this beautiful parable. So now, think of the first row on the left, the king. We're talking about, it's a parable of the kingdom. The king, so we can think of God. King as a first servant. First servant owes billions and billions to the king. He's like, I'm poo-poo. I owe him so much money. Lord, please forgive me. So the king says, no problem. Debt forgiven. So first servant's like, I feel great. No more debt. Second servant. Second servant's like, I owe 20 bucks to the other guy. So first guy goes, hey, pay up. Doesn't have the money, throws him in jail. Scenario, the king learns about it. A little tap on the finger saying, should have forgiven him. I already forgiven your debt. That's our condition with God. But now let's just look at two verses for the gift of mercy. Verse 27. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Now that's the first act of mercy in a sense. The gift of mercy starts with the heart. This is the heart of God. If you want a definition for the gift would be, I put in such a small font. God's tenderness of heart towards the needy, leading him to act on their behalf or for their behalf. So it's God's heart for the needy. If you're a slave to sin, even though you deserve the wrath of God, you are needy. You need a Savior. And God in his mercy will act on that. So now here, out of pity, is a word that would mean to have compassion, feel compassion. It's a feeling word. So the king felt something, there's a need, and he forgave him the debt. So if we go down, so that's how his action was. He forgave him the debt. Verse 33. And should not you, ESV is so great. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? Now, if you guys remember the sound, eleo, it's the same word right now, the word mercy, doing act of mercy. So the king, at compassion, his heart was moved, and then he acted and forgave the debt. And now we have confirmation. He acted mercifully for his servant. So that's our first example of how it works. But I feel like we need more. So let's go to Luke 10. We're going to the Good Samaritan story, which any good Jew would say there's no Good Samaritan. So they really love. So, okay, just because I like acting a little bit, this guy was going down the road, got robbed, he's half dead in a ditch, and now Jesus, just being like, you know, Jesus doesn't get in anybody's face, right? So he's like, so, priest walking by, totally not supposed to be a righteous man, just looked the other way, he's like, oh man, this guy's messed up, like that. He's really bloody, I don't want to help him. Now a Levite does the same thing, kind of second level, supposed taking care of temple, supposed to be righteous and good, looked the other way, and then finally, this good Samaritan shows up. And we'll read there, because I feel it's one of the best examples of doing acts of mercy right there. So we'll start at verse 33. So Luke 10, verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now I want to point out that's the same word that the king felt. Exact same word. His heart was moved. God, when he sees the needy, his heart moves. His heart is just, he can't help himself. That word was used when Jesus saw the blind man. He saw a leopard. It says he had compassion. He acted. He healed. He did miracles. That's the heart of God. He is, the hearts move. So the gift of mercy is connected to your heart. Just want to emphasize that right now. Verse 34, let's carry on. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. And I just want to put you in that scenario. Denarii, if people are not aware, it's a day's wage. Nowadays we make, well, like an average worker, under $20, $150. So he already gave $240, $300 to the innkeeper, saying, hey, take care of him. If the bill's higher, I don't know which hotel he was sleeping in, but if the bill's higher, I'll cover it. So I'm just saying, like, the gift of mercy, they go to great length. They will take care. They will serve. They will give. They will love. So let's just finish 36. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? That's Jesus speaking. 37, the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. And again, the word mercy here, the funny sounding sound, eleo, same word. So what he did was merciful. So the gift of mercy is that heart that moves and becomes action for people in need. And need can be diverse, from being addicted, from sickness, from being broken. So now, second question. We can't have our three questions we got to go through, so you guys are like, okay, I know what's coming. You know. So how is this gift really helpful? How somebody with gift of mercy in the church can help the church? And I had Dane's help on this one. We were talking yesterday. And in a sense, it's essential for the church, because Jesus, when he came, he said, I'm seeking the sick. I didn't come for the healthy. So the church's main focus is the people in need. The captives, the sick, the brokenhearted. Those are our main focus for people group where the gospel needs to reach out. And having these people in the church, they will bring that out, saying like, hey, like, we need to take care of these people. We're not this little elite group. We all dress nice. Everybody's posh. Don't talk about your problem. No. We're like a hospital, and God's the physician, and those people with gift of mercy would bring these people in to find the cure, which is the Lord. Second point is, we're talking about giving earlier, and that's great. They would create opportunities for people with different gifts. You know, if somebody who wants to give, I'm sure they would want to give where there's a need. It wouldn't be like, oh, he already has a house, but we'll upgrade the car. I'll give him that and he'll get a better car. Like, no, you want to give where there's a need, right? People with the gift of mercy would create these opportunities because they would go out there, serve and love these people. So now if somebody needs to serve, oh, that man or that woman has a problem with their car, I'm going to go serve and help them. How did I know about this need? Because this person, the gift of mercy, their heart went towards these people and now creating opportunities. They need money, person the gift of giving. Well, I'm ready to give. You know, it creates this net, this covering where there's opportunities created for people to display their gift. One last point for this would be, in James it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And in a sense, the church, 1 Corinthians 5, we are not called to judge the world. That's, Paul says it, God will judge the world. We are not called, we're called to preach the gospel and then go to them and love them, love on them. But the world influence and the culture tries to influence the church in, of saying there's different social group. And people with the gift of mercy would say, no, we're all in the same line. We're all sinners and we need a redemption from our God. So it's like these people are reminding the church of the heart of God, that we're not creating two social class here. These people, yeah, they act differently, but you know what? They're just as valuable as anybody else. They all need the Lord. So it's just kind of like a heart check for the church. And then in the gospel, with Jesus acting, you see that his mercy moves him to do things that ends in salvation. And that, I guess, would be for most gift. Job hazard, that's the word. I forgot it. Earlier I said just warning, but job hazard, I like that word. So what's the job hazard with this? I like what Yuan said about the poor will always be there. It's like this need is a black hole in space, right? You could just pour in there. At one point, you're like, oh, I'm stuck in the black hole. I'm burned out. I'm done. That would be part of the job hazard. You're interacting with people who have great, sad need that you're kind of like, you feel hopeless. You're like, wow, I can't solve this. And that's why Paul says, do it with cheerfulness. Why cheerful? Because we have a great God. And that's a reminder that you are not the person with that gift. They're not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And as they're doing these acts of mercy, it's not upon them. It's Jesus the Savior. And even though these needs are so great, there's still hope. Because the hope is in Jesus, not in the person serving. So that's a job hazard. But when you walk by faith, then it's good because we have a great Savior. So how do you know if you might have this gift? Well, I only have really one main point, and that be your heart. If your hearts move, if your heart feels this compassion towards people, I would say that's an indication that you might have this gift. And kind of to bring confirmation would be to actually go ahead and act. Because sometimes you're like, oh, I feel so bad for these people. We're like, we're kind of nervous. Like, it's almost like with our new technology and everything, we're like socially awkward. Like, well, I don't know how to approach them. Like, what we talk about, you know? You know what most people ask when they meet somebody? Like, what do you do? And you go to homeless, like, hey, what do you do? I sit here all day. I guess we don't have much to talk about now, eh? You know? But if you go and interact with them, you're going to realize there's, you can talk a lot more. And you kind of learn to relate to them and you chat with them. So, but I would just encourage you guys, if your hearts, and you go in prayer and you ask the Lord, would I have this gift? Is there like people group, if you want to call it that way, that maybe my heart's have compassion for? Then I would suggest, like, if you have an answer that says yes, to go ahead and then start walking forward and see. I have a story of a man in Victoria. He was, he kind of felt like God wanted him to go in the street, and he was terrified. And he made chicken fingers the first week he went out. And he had his bowl of chicken fingers, he's telling me. And then he was like shaking, be like, hey guys, you want chicken fingers? He's like, sure. And then take chicken fingers. Okay. And I was just like fully like scared. But that was the first week. And that was like him saying, God, I just want to walk by faith. Next week, he's like, okay, fear removed. God's saying, you walk a little step by faith, I'm there. Boom, no more fear. Went in, would interact with them freely. So I just want to encourage you guys. That little step of faith goes a long way. So, thank you. Good day. Okay, so we got a panel.